You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Baseball Together podcast, baseball family. This week, we're going to talk some Tommy Lasorda. We have a free agent frenzy, and we are about a month out from spring training, so we'll go through that next.
9plus Us presents the Baseball Together podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Baseball Together podcast, baseball family. I am Brad, and as per usual, I'm joined by our guy, Briggy B.
Yo.
He's here, that's right. Ready to roll.
Just thought that
a
was
a few words today.
I thought that was appropriate. I don't know.
Anyway. All right. So, let's get started with this, Brig. We basically took last week off. I'll be honest with you. We just had that interview. We thought we would just float it out there for you. And it was kind of a bad week to take off on current events because there's been a lot of things that have gone on since the last time we came on and spoke at you. One of those things was that Tommy Lasorda passed away. I mean, Dodger legend. If you did not grow up watching Tommy Lasorda manage the Dodgers, then you're too young, to be honest with you.
Yeah, right. That's the only thing. Yes.
Or way too old. I don't know which is which. But, I mean, there's opposite ends of the spectrum that are very, very slim these days. But anyways, Tommy Lasorda is a legend. Brig has on the notes here, he walks into the cornfield. And I think that's a perfect way to describe it because that is exactly what he has done.
You're right. The
cornfield.
Yep. And we're excited for him. I mean, it's sad to see him go, but it was, I mean, a storied career, 21 years of managing. Mm-hmm. In Los Angeles, the whole time.
Yeah.
The whole time.
That never happens.
No, it never happens. He was manager of the year twice, first in 83, then in 88. And he finished in the top five voting, I think, what is it, six seasons total? He managed four All-Star teams as well, and he is a World Series winner two times over with four pennants in that time.
There you go.
Some of the best,
and one of the best videos, like, or clips that I love watching. It's kind of like the Dickie V, not Dickie V, Jimmy V, you know, the college basketball clip of the guy, if you don't know who it is, it's Jim Valvano, when NC State won the national championship, him running around the court looking for somebody to hug.
Yeah.
There is a clip that I feel like is pretty similar to that, and I believe it's after the Gibson home run in the 88 World Series, right?
Yeah.
He's running out on the field and he's looking like he's looking for somebody to hug, but instead he's just sprinting. This portly old man sprinting out of the dugout.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's one of my favorite Lasorda clips. One of my favorite clips, period, but definitely one of my favorite Lasorda clips.
So he was 93 when he passed away, and it was January 7th officially of this year. But what I think goes unsaid often was his just abysmal playing career. So we just have to roast him for just a minute. He was a pitcher. He played in 54, 55, and 56. He played with Brooklyn the first two seasons, and then he was with Kansas City for that final season and the Kansas City Athletics when they were the Athletics. Mm-hmm. Brad, riddle me this. What was his combined ERA?
Over those three seasons?
3 years at a 162-game average, even though he didn't play 162 games, obviously.
Right. I'm going to go with 4.5, Bob.
You would be wrong.
Okay.
You gave him a tremendous amount of credit. And we're really glad that he is such a great manager. He's in the Hall of Fame for managing. Because his playing ERA was 6.48.
Woof. Thanks.
Woof. Woof is right.
Wow.
So, Tommy, thank you for your contributions to baseball. We do things a little bit irreverently here. We love you dearly, but we're really glad you were a manager.
That's right. Definitely. Definitely. But, hey, let's move on here. So, yeah. This was something I actually thought was really interesting. So, the first weekend of the NFL playoffs, they actually broadcasted a game on Nickelodeon. They had a couple of NFL Network guys get on there and do the call. And one of them, Nate Burleson, who's a guy who I actually really like, he said that it was a lot of fun because he got to talk like he was talking to his kids about football.
Mm-hmm.
And, Brig, I am wondering, do you think if MLB did this, if they just broadcasted a game of the week, even if it's a Sunday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, whatever, because the NFL did it on Sunday, if maybe they did a Sunday afternoon game of the week on Nickelodeon, do you think this would help with the demographic issue that MLB has?
How could it not? And where has this idea been forever?
I have no idea, because I saw that the NFL was doing this. I was like, oh, wow, that's a super duh.
Super duh.
Nickelodeon
this is like,
loves sports. They love athletes. Why
yes,
not? Why not?
I know. It's so stupid. Like, this is like the toothpick, right? You're like, ah. Oh, man.
That's a perfect
dang it.
Yeah. Yes.
So stupid. Yes. Like you got scooped by the universe, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. It's exactly the right answer. And I think they should be marketing it to younger audiences and at more accessible methods. So you do have to have somebody who can speak young. Like you're talking about when they're calling the game, they have to be able to explain it and walk people through it. And I think that if you did it in such a way as to invite and not talk at, you would be really good, really well off. The results would be tremendous. But it would have to be every week, like you're saying. It can't be one off.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And NFL is just a one off. They did not do it the second or third weekends. I guess the second week. Anyway. But, man, if Rob Manfred or somebody is not on the phone, Nickelodeon, making this deal done, then Manfred is far more incompetent than I have ever thought he was, which is pretty low. But pretty, I don't
You had
don't
some
know.
Left, Brad. I'm astonished.
You know, there is a little bit there. But if he's not making this deal or having somebody in his office make this deal, I mean, Theo Epstein's in his office now working for him.
That's right.
This feels like something that Epstein would reach out and do because he, I mean, in the words of Dr. Evil, he is hip. He is with it.
He's with it. That's
he's
correct.
He's hip. He's cool. He's with it.
Yeah, that's right. It's exactly right. And so I agree with you. Manfred's best decision ever was to bring Epstein in. Mm-hmm. If it was even Manfred's decision, who knows? Maybe Joe Torre did it, but and that's who I'd rather give the credit to anyway. But the point is, you're right. This is right up his alley. He's innovative. He's mover and shaker. The NFL can't really afford one game a week at this stage, certainly in the season, to sacrifice to that audience building method or model. But baseball does and always will. You know,
since there are 15 games every Sunday.
Yes.
You can give one of those games to Nickelodeon every week. Who cares if it's the Tigers and the Marlins? I mean, the Marlins are a little bit bad example because they were good this year. But, I mean, whoever the Tigers are playing, give them, like, give that game to Nickelodeon. Who cares?
Yeah.
Just
right.
You need to appeal to the younger audience. And then who knows? Coming up, you'll have more Tigers fans probably. I don't know.
Who knows?
Or maybe the Angels. Let kids find out who Mike Trout is because he's the greatest player of this
generation.
There you
go. There you go. That's well, they need excitement. That's the one thing you have to be sure of.
Yeah.
Is that if you're going to put this in front of a discerning audience, and no more shrewd an audience is there than children, then you absolutely have got to make it worth their time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And have you tried to get a 6-year-old or an 8-year-old to sit in front of anything for that long?
Yes.
Yes.
Does it work?
No. It's very hard. We need to acknowledge the difficulty in the task, but mm-hmm. There's lots of things you can do. I mean, cigarettes did it for a really long time. Baseball's got a chance.
You would think, but cigarettes were shooting for 30 seconds at a time.
That's true.
But
that's true.
But no, I think the MLB, they have to make this happen. They've got to make it work. They've got to figure it out because that's like, there's no reason not to. Like you said, it's like the toothpick. Duh. Hello.
Yeah. Jeez.
So, Anyway, let's move on. So
let's shift it.
I saw tonight before we were coming on that Dustin Pedroia is actually not going to be attempting a comeback to MLB. We talked last year about, you know, if he comes, because what was it? He wasn't going to be ready to go at the start of the season last year. So we're kind of like, is this going to be it for him? But he said he wanted to come back. But now this year, it's looking like he's saying he's not going to.
Yeah.
But my question for you, Brig,
mm-hmm.
Do you believe the laser show, Dustin Pedroia, do you believe that he's a Hall of Famer or no?
You know, yes.
Okay. And I think we had this conversation before, but let's revisit it anyway.
Okay. Two-time World Series winner, four-time All-Star, Rookie of the Year. He's been an MVP. His number's getting retired in Boston. Like, that's easy.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
yeah.
For sure that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. As far as his numbers go, he's at 14 years, so he's going to reach that cutoff. And then on a 162 average, he had, let's see, career 6,031 at-bats, scored 922 runs off 1,805 hits, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. His batting average, .299 career. These numbers do not really go in his favor as far as like Hall of Fame consideration is concerned, but this is one of those things for me. This is where you're going to end up with those X factor votes, mm-hmm. right? Guys are going to say, yeah, but look what he did for the game. Look what he did for the clubhouse. Look what he did as a leader and as a mentor with all this change that Boston went through all those years. My goodness. He came in 2006. And the only thing when he first started playing baseball, so my whole family, they're all Red Sox fans, all of them.
Right.
And it's so I grieve that for them, but it's fine. They're all happy, and I love that for them. Here's the thing. The thing is, when Dustin got on the field, my dad drugged me to the television. He's like, come here. You got to see this. And with all of that power and that just raw, just tenacious energy was infectious, man. And it was for the whole time through 2017 before he got hurt, right? It was exactly.
Yeah.
He came to play every day. He gave it everything he had, and you just can't beat it, man. You can't.
So I always look at Dustin Pedroia as one of those guys who had what I call, as of this moment, hustletude.
Right. Hustletude.
He's not the best player on the field. He's not obviously not the biggest. He's pretty small, relatively speaking. But sure. Nobody's going to out-hustle him. Nobody's going to outwork him because he knows what he had to do to get there.
Yeah.
And, you know, like one of my wife's favorite players was David Eckstein because mm-hmm. he was on the Angels World Series winning team.
Yeah.
And part of it was because he was a little guy. He wasn't very big, but he just like – and he had that hustle, dude. But he was not nearly as good as Dustin Pedroia, as evidenced by his short career.
Sure.
But,
yes,
you know, there's those guys who have that quality. He has it with a certain level of talent because he had an incredible 8-year run. You know, he was in the big leagues for 14 years.
Yeah, 14.
But really it was 8 years where he was at his peak, and he was incredible. He was very, very good. And I think that 8 years, it's going to – I think if you were looking at his numbers by themselves, it would be close. But because, like I said, hustletude, and you said X factor, I think that's what's going to get him in.
Yeah, I agree. Now his career WAR, I'm looking at it, his career WAR is at a 51.6. That puts him down in the Andrew Jones realm as far as career WAR is concerned. In the 60s, let me just check 51. Okay, Andrew Jones has a lot more WAR than that by 10 points, but just trying to find some of these. Big, see if there's any big names down there in the 51 range. But anyway, so far, no, actually.
And part of that is because those guys had longer careers. They had more of a chance to build up that WAR.
Yeah, you're right. Kirby Puckett. There's Kirby Puckett.
Well, there you go.
51.1. I just needed, you know what I mean? I just wanted to see if we could justify it on that basis. And there you go, mm-hmm. Kirby Puckett. There's Mark Teixeira. There's Mark Teixeira's name.
Yeah, he's He's not a Hall of Famer, though. He's a good
player. No, I agree.
He's definitely not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, you're right. He is a celebrity. Let's just acknowledge that.
I worked at Walmart, and this guy was a big Yankees fan who come in, and I had a couple of choice words from him about how I felt about Mark Teixeira, and he goes, "Come on, man." I was like, "You know it's true." He's like, "I know, but you don't have to say it." I won't share it here. But
yeah, don't. We keep this family friendly for a
exactly.
reason.
That's right. Yeah, for sure. But no,
all right.
I,
so that's
I
the first. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just gonna say I do think he'll get in for those reasons that we said. Yeah. That if it were came down to numbers alone, no. But he's got other things working in his favor. So
can I say one last thing about this?
Please do.
We know this thing gets political, right?
Yes.
There's no avoiding it, and Ken Griffey Jr. is exactly a perfect example. But if this is going to be as political as it's been in the past, then why not put him in the Hall of Fame? Because think of the story that tells. Think of the inspiration behind it. Think of all that you could. Let me back up. Think of all that Rob Manfred and baseball could get out of this if he gets elected into the Hall of Fame. You know, do you see what I'm saying? Like, like, why not? And that's not the only reason you're doing it, but it's a nice little cherry on top of that.
Yeah, it is. And, just you know, saying. Ken Griffey Jr., they were asking him why baseball is the best sport. And one of the things he said was, he's like, you can be the smallest kid on the block and still be the best player of baseball. He's like, you're not going to be the smallest kid on the block and be the best player of basketball. You're not going to be the smallest and slowest kid on the block and be the best kid in football. But you can be the smallest and slowest kid on the block and be the best kid at baseball. And that's one of the things that makes the sport great. And that's, I mean, I just looked it up. Dustin Pedroia is 5'9". That is shorter than me. And I am not, by any stretch of the imagination, tall.
No, right. So, he's shorter than I am, too. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah,
so,
but
I mean,
we had hopes with Jose Altuve, but those are gone.
Yes.
To be like that guy. And Dustin did it way before that. Anyway, I'm just saying, yes. Does he go in? Yeah. Duh.
Yeah. Yep.
But he's the first on a long list of people that we need to talk about.
He is. I'm assuming you're referring to John Lester, right?
Yeah. Do you want to take a break or do you want to jump into this?
Let's go ahead with John Lester.
Okay. So he agrees to a one-year deal with Washington, not Chicago.
And
how do you feel about that?
Honestly, it's the National League. I don't care too much.
Brad,
it's fine. Like,
I feel like I should slap your wrist.
Well, it's like, here's the thing: is maybe Washington has a plan. Okay,
sure.
Maybe
sure.
They pitched him on a plan. We both read the Cubs way, and the way that they got him to Chicago was based on a plan.
That's right.
So if Washington pitched him on a plan, it worked. And if Washington pitched him on a plan, the way that they can see themselves getting back to the World Series, that could have been it. And you know what? That pitching staff just got so much better.
Yeah.
You've still got Scherzer. You still got Strasburg. And now you've got Lester.
Yeah.
That's trouble.
It's trouble.
That's trouble for the NL East.
So here's my thought. That pitching staff just got better for the next 3 years. Depending on how those trades happen. Because John Lester, yeah, he signed a one-year deal, but his influence is going to linger. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to bring in some teaching, and it's going to be awesome. So, yeah, I think that it's an interesting situation.
You know what he's going to do, Brig?
What's
he
going to
do?
Tell me.
He's going to teach him how to win. Just kidding, they already know how to win.
I was like, oh, man. I don't even know what to say to that.
I had to get it out there. Anyway, all right, let's do one more. Let's do one more pitcher, and this is actually a trade. Joe Musgrove was traded to the Padres from the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's a lot of P's. Good thing I have a pop screen. holy moly.
Wow.
I'm going to head over to the casino next week and put some money on the Padres.
Yeah.
You
don't have to do it from an app right now.
I could do it from that. About 5 minutes from a casino, though, I could just walk in there with my mask on and do it.
There you go.
But, yeah, no, that's trouble.
It's trouble,
Speaking
man.
Of trouble with the pitching staff. And, You know what? If he's there for any extended period of time, I don't know what his deal's like, because that's a trade. I didn't pay too close attention to it, I'll be honest. But if he's there for 2 years, could you imagine having, let's see here, we've got Snell, we've got Musgrove. I mean, Musgrove's probably going to be, what, the third guy on that staff?
Yeah, four maybe, but yeah.
Yeah, and then if you get Clevenger back, like, oh my gosh.
Dude.
Yeah, they're building something that's going to last.
You know what's funny? Before we take a break, I'm just going to have to call you out. Like, listen to how excited you are about this.
And it's the National League.
There you go. Eat it, Brad.
How about West Coast bias?
No. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right, let's go ahead and take a break. So Brick can recover. When we get back, we're going to talk about some more free agent signings and get into some stuff about the season.
Welcome back, baseball family. And before we jump into more of our free agent frenzy, we get a lot of questions about what we're drinking. Okay, and much to your surprise, they are not adult beverages. Okay. Unless you ask my four-year-old and I say, "This is what, Dad, what are you drinking?" And I say, "It's a dad drink." And that is my Raise Energy Baja Lime Zero Sugar Energy Drink. Guys, we love energy drinks. I don't think that's any surprise. And we have some things planned for energy drinks. But we have some biases. And we used to be all about Bang until we found Raise. And it has been a game changer, right, Brad?
It has been, absolutely, 100%. I'm drinking a Voodoo tonight, and it's delicious.
You got the Voodoo one?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like an orange cream.
Right. I disagree with you. I think it tastes different than that. But that's what's fun about Raise Energy is everybody find a flavor that they love. And we couldn't spend time going into all of it. It just take too long. But zero sugar, no crash electrolytes. It's packed full of BCAAs. They boast max recovery, lots of focus, and it's all clean. So I like it. I don't crash when I come off of it. And we, guys, it's so exciting. We have a code that you can use if you want to try it. Go ahead and jump at repsports.com with two P's, repsports.com, and type in the code BTPOD, Baseball Together Podcast, so BTPOD. And that will help us out, and you're going to love these drinks.
And you'll get
promise.
15% off.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about the discount.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not just that you're helping us out. You're getting 15% off on that. So
dilly dilly. Amazing. It's legit. Thanks for plugging that. So we'll put that in the doobly doo below. But you can also just jump on with your earballs what you got with that. And all right, back to baseball. So the Yankees, this offseason has been bananas for New York. In both sides of New York, but the Yankees. Okay, hold on. We don't know for sure if DJ LeMahieu has actually finalized a deal. Everybody says he did until you read closely. Like,
yeah.
All the fans are like, yay, we got DJ. And I'm telling you now, we're going to say this and I'm going to do it because I'm tempting fate, right? I want to make sure that the universe goes, Brig, you were wrong. It did go through. And by tomorrow morning when you were listening to this, I hope that's the case. But everywhere but one source can we find finalizing.
In the process.
Or in the process or nearing completion. There's CBS Sports is the only outlet reporting definitive deal completion. And I, for one, am a little bit worried about that. Brad doesn't care as much as I do.
You're right. I don't. Because I predicted he would go to the Dodgers, and I still would kind of like to see that just for the sake of my own selfishness. But no, I mean, we see stuff like this fall apart all the time because everything, like you said, we've seen is saying that they're closing in on a deal. They're finalizing a deal. That nothing is official. And we're going off of guys with MLB.com, Jeff Passan, who is an incredibly reliable source.
Yeah, incredibly reliable.
You know, there's still a chance if you're not a Yankees fan that it could fall apart. So, but there's also a good chance that it could be done by the time this comes out in the morning. So I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. Either way, something's in the water. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it goes through. It needs to go through. It's a, what is it, 6 years, $90 million is what's being proposed.
Yeah, yep.
Which is a steal, I think.
I think for him, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
and who knows? Like, so, it could be something like on Little Big League, how remember Ricky Henderson wanted a dog and they weren't willing to get him a dog, so the deal fell apart and he resigned to the Yankees.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Or the A's or whatever.
Forgot about that part.
Could happen. It could happen. DJ LeMahieu. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. So George Springer also remains on the market. And right now we think it's between the New York Mets and the Toronto Blue Jays of Buffalo. But we're not 100% sure what exactly is happening. And I don't think anybody is. What is the last update? It's like 3 days ago, right?
Yeah, and they're still saying the Mets. And one of the issues that the Blue Jays are having is the uncertainty of what's going to happen with their home field this next year.
Right.
I mean, I don't blame them. You know, are you going to be living in Buffalo? Are you going to be living in Toronto? Are you going to be living in a van down by the river? I don't know. What's going to be happening? Who's to say? So they're having a hard time signing guys, and that might be Springer's hang-up. I don't know.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, he is getting an offer from the Mets, who are now very, like, I don't want to say very, very good, just because they haven't stepped on the field yet. But on paper, they're looking real good.
On paper, they're tantalizing. How about that? Tantalizing.
There you go. Yeah. Why don't you tell us why, Brick? Why are they tantalizing on paper?
No. Okay. Because I can't help myself, Brad. No, they traded for Francisco Lindor and Carlos Carrasco.
Yeah.
And that is why, on paper, they have become very sizzling.
Yeah, and, you know, you still got polar bear Pete Alonso over there at first base. You got his bat. You got a little bit more protection for him in the lineup. That could be trouble. I mean, like I said, they haven't stepped on the field yet, and they're the Mets. They have a tendency to met the bed, so we'll see what happens there. I don't know.
Yeah, but they got a new head shed.
They did. Yes.
So who knows?
Yeah, there could be a top down culture change in that organization.
We could end up one day reading the Mets way. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that, I could see that happen. We could end up doing the Fryer way. I don't know. You know, like,
we could. Yeah.
Anyway, there's a lot going on. There are big changes, and this is one of them. So the Brew Crew signed Josh Hader to a 1-year deal. That's exciting for Josh Hader.
Well, this is the thing, is that I think, especially for him with the year that he had this last year, and everything is a little bit weird with the 2020 season. I understand that, but he was not great. He was not very good in 2020. And especially with a closer, when they have a season like that, you got to proceed with caution, I feel like, because closers, for some reason, they have a shelf life with one team, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of fall off that cliff. They go somewhere else, and then they go back up to kind of where they were. Like, who am I thinking of? Who was the guy who shot the arrow? Why can't I think of his name off the top of my head?
Who shot the arrow?
The closer.
Yeah.
Every time he would, after he would get a save, he would shoot the arrow. I can't think of his name right now. I'll think of it. But anyways, he is, I feel like, the perfect example of that, because he's a dude who bounced around like 10 times in 11 seasons, because he would have a great year and then he'd be terrible. So they'd trade him, cut him, or whatever. And then he'd go have a really good season with another team. That's driving me crazy. Why don't you filibuster for a minute, Brig, while I look up who that was? That's
kind of driving me insane. Listen, baseball family, I have some things I've been really excited to get off my chest, and I feel like this is the perfect opportunity. So, you know what they say about sunflower seeds. They are salty and roasty and delicious. And we love them. So get out there and find yourself a bag of Biggs sea salt and black pepper sunflower seeds. The best source I have found for them is actually on Amazon. I don't have a discount code. I can't help you out there. I would love to, but you just help yourself. Biggs sea salt and black pepper sunflower seeds. Brad, back to you. Well done.
Fernando Rodney. That's who it was.
Okay.
you always knew him by the cocked hat. But yeah, it was.
That's right. Fernando the cocked Rodney. Hat.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, he would be terrible with one team, move on, and then be really good with them for like a season and a half, then move on. Yeah. But anyways.
Yeah, his average ERA is like almost four, right? 3.8.
Yeah,
or four
for
or
like
something.
A lights out closer who's an all star several times. That's a really high ERA.
Right.
But no, I feel like this is Milwaukee proceeding with caution with their closer that they've seen
or
some
is it
I think it is because I feel like they saw a decline last year and they're like, you know what, let's give him one more year,
sure,
and but, you know, we can pull him away out of the closer role if we need to, we can move on from him if we need to, we've got flexibility there.
Yeah, okay, I agree with you in the case of Josh Hader, that's true. But Brad, when we were looking at all of the different arbitration deals and all of this free agency garbage that's happened, almost every single deal is a one-year deal right now. Almost every single deal.
A lot of them, yeah. It's true.
Which we thought was shocking. You know, it's just, here's what I'm saying. I've been thinking a lot about this for the last 3 minutes. I think what's happening here is that we're getting close. So we're coming off a 60-game season. 2020 was bonkers. Nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows what to expect, even though we'll get into it in a minute, what we're being told about the 2021 season being a full-length 162 games, etc. But don't forget about the collective bargaining agreement. Guys, listen, it's happening at the end of the 2021 season, and there is some serious changes being proposed. There are serious changes being proposed, and I think all of this is teams going, well, let's not get in too much trouble. We lost money, projected funds, yes, but their P&L charts are off from 2020. They don't know what to expect out of 21, and here they go. We might have a major financial shakeup in the whole league. Ooh, I'm excited. I think that's part of what's happening. What do you think, Brad?
Yeah, I could see that. So basically what you're saying is it's a CYA for the teams, right?
It's all, everybody's just like, they're like, let's tread water for a year and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, and especially with another weird season, right? I mean, we'll get into
exactly.
that, like you said, in a little bit with some of the stuff they're doing this season because of the potential for a crazy season. So,
yeah.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong. I feel like Hader in this specific situation – specific, I want to make sure that you hear that I didn't say Pacific, specific situation. I think part of it is the fact that he's a closer on the client on decline, but also
yeah.
I think you're right that's the reason why we're seeing so many one-year deals is that teams are like, let's see where we're at financially in a year, and then maybe we'll go from there.
And I just think that the trend is supporting their decision. He could have got a two-year deal in a different year.
Yeah,
we've seen that in seasons past where those guys declining, they're like, well, let's give them a couple years and see what happens. But this one feels a little bit abrupt, right? It's like, nope, you get one chance, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't disagree with you. I just think that the trend is supporting the decision. Okay.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm going to jump down off my soapbox here.
It's just fine.
My next one.
It is Didi Gregorius, so.
It is Didi. And
yeah.
I just feel like we should be a little bit reverent when we talk about Didi, right? Like, am I the only one who loves Didi that much?
I think everybody does, let's be honest.
If you don't, I don't get it. Can we even be friends?
Probably not.
So Didi Gregorius, we're hoping that he gets picked up somewhere, goes back to Philly, right? Like, that's what it's looking like is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like
why
he is going to go back to Philly.
Yeah, but why are teams so hesitant to pick him up? I mean, there's lots of infield shifting going on.
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I'm not sure. I do think that some of it might be COVID-related because he does have a long, chronic kidney issue. So he played with a mask on all season. And so I wonder if teams are a little bit skeptical about having somebody with a chronic health issue during a pandemic. You know, we don't want to pay. Don't want to pay a guy who is going to be out because of health reasons. If this happens, you know, I'm not saying that's it. I'm saying that's a possibility. As somebody who has worked in healthcare, that's something that would be at the front of my mind.
Well, so. It's a liability financially, and it's a liability for health reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be on the hook if this guy contracts some sort of, you know, virus and then ends up on his deathbed because he played baseball.
Right. Well, and not only that, but that's a hole in your roster. I mean, if you're strictly thinking of X's and O's, I mean, that's a hole in your roster. Mm. That's a big, big gaping hole. If you're missing out on Nedy Gregorius, if you were counting on having him all season, and then all of a sudden he's gone for 150 games.
Oof.
You know?
Ooh, that would be ugly.
It really would
be. Could it be any uglier than this Philadelphia team has been this last season anyway, though? And
I don't know. I mean, that might be why they're willing to bring him back. They're just like, you know what? What else could go wrong? Because
he's a good guy. We need the clubhouse support so bad.
Man,
I always think of when I think of this Philadelphia team, I think of the Angels in the outfield, right? When Danny Glover's character comes in and the catcher's got like 8 hot dogs in his hands and they're all smoking and joking and Danny Glover comes in and he tips over the buffet table and he starts screaming and throwing everything. Like, that's how I imagine Philadelphia right now. That's just what it feels like.
I would think so, because that team has been a major disappointment. You know, I said when they signed the Bryce Harper deal, I said I give them 4 years before they move on from that deal if they have not won a World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And we are, what, 2022 away from that happening? Is that right?
Yeah,
2 more seasons?
Yeah, 2022. Yeah.
2 more seasons. I think they're going to move on from him if they don't win a World Series in that time, and I don't see it happening, to be honest.
I don't see it happening.
So,
no, yeah, I don't major. Even with even with Joe Girardi at the helm, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Nope. Nope. Nope.
Last question on this free agent frenzy. We're gonna jump back over to the West Coast for you, just for you, Brad.
Oh, thank
what
you.
Is the deal?
That.
What's the deal with Justin Turner, man?
I have 3 words for you about Justin Turner, and those 3 words are I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows. I don't know if anybody knows what's going on with Justin Turner, because
that
you
was
would
so
have
precise.
Thought, you would have thought that he would have been one of those guys who's on the front burner of everybody's priority list, being like, hey, this guy, he is a perennial leader in a postseason clubhouse. You know that there would have been teams coming after him and that actively pursuing him and giving him high dollar offers, because the last 4 years in LA with him, I mean, he's been incredible. He's been so good,
just and the most consistent. That's the thing. It's
yes, especially in the postseason.
It's
but
so
instead,
consistent. Yeah,
crickets, absolute crickets.
Yeah,
it's insane to me. I don't understand it.
Do
but
you
maybe
think
that's why I don't work in a front office? I don't know.
Well, let's call Jonah Hill and see what he says. Do you think that any of it has anything to do with that COVID-related debacle at the end of last season?
No, I don't think it does. Because if anything, that showed that he, in a weird way, is a good clubhouse guy, you know?
Yeah,
that he's out there with his teammates rather than, I don't know. I don't think it has anything to do with that, though. But, I mean, the Dodgers, because the latest thing I saw on the Dodgers was, like, yesterday, and it said that they were planning on bringing in Marcus Semien if Justin Turner moves on a free agency, and that's it. That's it. If he moves on a free agency, I don't know who's making him offers. I don't even know if the Dodgers have made him an offer yet.
We can't find anything.
There is nothing. There is no information. And it's insane that somebody that big of a name that either nobody wants him or everybody wants him and they're just all quiet about it. I don't know.
Right.
It's weird.
And if nobody wants him, it makes no sense. There must be some enormous piece of information that the public is not aware of.
Yeah. Yeah. That somehow
and it would have to be huge, huge.
Mm-hmm.
Because even teams like Chicago and New York and some of these others, they give guys chances for lots of like legal things. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they're like, okay, well, you know, you're on a short leash, but you can still play ball here if you, you know, XYZ abide by these rules, whatever. Mm-hmm. So this, yeah. I don't know. It's weird. And I don't mean to imply that there is a legal issue. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, I'm just trying to figure out with the data that we have, which is none, like what could possibly be the problem?
So weird. I don't know. We'll think on that. And when we get back after our break, we're going to talk about spring training and the MLB season.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I never get back with me. Root for the home. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Shop kids' baseball shirts at 9plusS.com.
Welcome back from that short break, baseball family. So we have for you some pretty good news, I would say. At least news headed in the right direction.
There you
go. Something like that.
We have some pretty good news. Sorry.
Well, oh, man. How about this? I'm excited the spring training starting in a month.
Me too.
That's encouraging. It's going to start on time. It will be good. The only problem is that so fans can go to the games. That's what they're saying right now. Fans will be able to attend the games, but you cannot attend workouts, which is like the bonus that you get by going to spring training,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That, I mean, I've done it. I did it last year. I need to get some video up on that on YouTube because that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you get to go. You walk around and you stop the players as they're going from field to field, whatever. Wilson got a bunch of autographs. But there won't be any of that this year. It's just strictly a game day experience. But it's going to be like a lunchtime game day experience because they play in the afternoon every day.
Yep.
So we've got that. MLB says there are no plans to take temperatures or get proof of vaccine or on-site testing. So they're not going to make a sweeping declaration that that's going to be a thing that has to happen. They're leaving it up to the teams. And to be honest with you, something that I've learned in the last year is that most of these facilities are actually owned by the city. So the city could quite possibly step in and make that declaration.
Yeah, of course.
You know, saying that like we're requiring on-site testing for anybody who comes in.
Yeah.
That might not be up to the teams. That could very well be up to the city.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So we'll see what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, Brig,
mm.
would you make it a point to go to a spring training game if that was the situation?
Yep. In fact,
me too. I mean,
in fact, I have friends in Sarasota Springs, Florida, and they've been just really chomping to get me down there. And I'm thinking, like, this is good. I might as well do that. You know, like that's a perfect time to do it. And let's do it.
Yeah,
like, you know? And I don't want to be like flippant or irresponsible about the situation or anything. But I mean, life must go on. So. If they can do it safely, and if I feel like the implications are acceptable, right, the risks are acceptable, then yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind going. I've never been to spring training. It's on my bucket list.
Yeah. And see, for me, like, this is kind of the funny thing. So I'm actually probably better off going to a game with a mask on because I have a peanut allergy.
Yeah, that's right.
I go to games all the time. It's like people always ask me, so you have a peanut allergy. How do you do baseball games? Like, I don't know. It's outdoors. I just try to sit on the end. I'm good. You know, and I was actually thinking about it the other day. I was like, if I have to wear a mask to a baseball game, that might actually be the way to go. Like, probably should have been doing it the whole time.
Yeah, never thought about it that way.
So, yeah.
It's awesome.
I literally had that thought like last week was all. Like, I am in my mid-30s, and I just now had that thought after all these years of going to baseball games.
Oh. So good.
So I'll be going.
Yes.
And wearing a mask and probably be safer than I was before. So that's neat.
That's neat. Neat. Well,
anyway,
the season is going to start April 1st, though, right? They're still setting it as April 1st.
Yes, that's the plan. It's been the plan this whole time, is to start on time on April 1st.
Yep, and it's going to be a 162-game season. That's what they're telling us, 162 games. But, Brad, what's interesting about this coming season is what will and will not be the same from last season, the carryovers in the rules and in the playoff structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I kind of understand this because it is 162 games. They're not trying to get that sprint in with 60 games. But at the same time, they have about, like, relatively speaking, they have about the same amount of time to get those 162 games in, right? Like, the same size window. So,
yeah,
one of the things they're doing is 7-inning doubleheaders.
Yeah.
And an extra base runner on base in extra innings. Because they don't want, 25-inning games, and they don't want doubleheaders to go forever.
Yeah.
Which I understand, because the situation is actually, quite frankly, worse right now than what it was last year.
Yes.
So for them to try to get this season in, it could very well be more of a trick than it was to get those 60 games in. And we saw some of the challenges the teams faced, specifically the Marlins and the Cardinals with outbreaks. And there could be more spread out across this 162-game season. So, I don't know. It's going to be tough, but I think they can probably do it.
Yeah, I think they can do it. And like I said last time, I think that the last time we talked about this, I think that they've probably saw, best case and worst case scenarios in a lot of situations. They saw what the KBO did. They saw what NFL and NBA have done. There's lots of lessons learned at this point, so I think that it's totally feasible that they can pull this off.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to move on that one of the things that they've decided is that they will not be instating the universal DH in this season, which I love.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's true. And actually, every time I see that, I think of you because of your disdain for the DH. But I also think about guys like Marcell Ozuna and Nelson Cruz, who have not signed with teams yet because they were trying to find out what was going on with that rule. I mean, the Braves aren't going to bring Ozuna back because, there's really no spot for him. So he's got to go to the American League.
Where, though?
He's got to go to the American League. So I don't know.
That's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, you've got your DHs all over the league, but, I mean, maybe he'll be willing to play right field for somebody.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, a guy who's that, I don't want to say he's like a major minus in the outfield like Nelson Cruz is.
No.
But a guy who is a plus at the plate and a minus in the outfield, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's really tough.
Yeah, exactly. So, obviously, there's a lot of things that can change between now and April 1st before these rules are firmed up and we make any decisions formally. It's not my decision, but the the thing that we do know is that they're projecting they're hoping to get a 14 team spread in the playoffs. Now, traditionally we have 10 teams. Last year we had 16. I think that both the owners and the players agree that 10, we could do more, but 16 was a lot. So everything I'm seeing is that 14 might be a sweet spot, and they might actually try it just to see, and then we'll have three sets of data to compare on what a prime playoff position or a playoff spread looks like. The only failing to that logic is, what are you going to do with the two new franchise teams? I just don't think they took that into consideration.
Well, so this is the way that works, Brig.
Yes, Brad, explain it to me.
So what you've got to do is you've got to divide each league into four divisions. You can't have three divisions anymore. You've got to have four.
Yes.
You've got to have four-team divisions in each league. That's 16 and 16.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got – you could still do 14 teams in the playoffs, because then you do all four division winners – And then the next top three records down below that. Right?
Yeah, you could do it that way.
And you don't even have to go with the second place finisher. It could just be the next three. Like, you could get three or four teams from the NL East. That's how it ends up going. But that is how that would work.
Why would you not do it that way and let the best teams play the best teams?
That's the way it should be.
Also, go back to that would be an old school pennant race situation, but it would also free up opportunities for the best team to play the best teams. The other thing that you would end up with is, I hope, dramatically reduced interleague play.
Yes.
Like, you'd have to in order to squeeze that many games in, but also, like, just stop it.
Well, and the thing that is kind of funny about interleague play is that baseball is the only major sport in North American sport that where the leagues don't, like, typically play each other.
Right.
The interleague is a strange concept.
Yeah.
So that's the one reason I don't have a problem with interleague. But the reason I do have a problem with interleague is because the rules are different. You know, like, NFL, the AFC, and the NFC, they don't have different rules. It is the exact same ball, the exact same field.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like it's not like in the AFC, your quarterback has to go play safety for a down every series.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you can tell we've talked about this.
We have talked about this. Yeah. And, you know, and especially in the NBA, the East and West, the only thing that's different is a talent disparity between the two. You know, there are no rule differences. In the Major League Baseball, though, it is so strange that and it will always be strange to me as long as it exists. You've got the American League has the DH. The National League has the pitchers who hit. And it just, like.
Right.
I don't know. I struggle.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Just get rid of the DH and everything will go back to hunky-dory. Give two new teams, old-school pennant races, abolish the DH, be baseball players, and everybody's happy.
So if you get rid of the DH, do you just have regular interleague play and not make it so that it's a novelty, but instead make it a regular part of the schedule? Or do you just eliminate interleague play altogether?
No, I want it to only be a novelty if it's going to be. And I think that that's for broadcast reasons and marketability and, you know, unifying baseball fans across the country and all that's great. But I want to see the World Series be really everything it used to be before interleague play, right? Where these teams never seen each other, ever.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I did used to like that because growing up, you know, you could have your American League team and your National League team. Like, I've always been a Mariners fan, but because we had TBS, we could watch the Braves. I was a Braves fan just like every other kid in America.
Everybody, yeah.
Who didn't have a National League team, you know? So my dream matchup in the World Series was the Mariners and the Braves.
Right.
You know, and I never got it. But then when interleague play came along, I was kind of like, oh, it's actually not that exciting right now.
And it's not exciting.
Yeah.
It took all the magic away from those opportunities. And the excitement of hoping for your teams to play each other was better than whatever they thought the result would have been by having them actually play a four-game series or whatever, three-game series.
Yeah.
So I think that if you bring back the pennant races and if you keep them, you keep most of the interleague play out, then you end up with more magic and more fun and whatever. It's subtle and it's a slow burn, and that's the way baseball is, you know, so keep it the way it is. But I'm a traditionalist. Yeah. I know I am.
And that's cool.
Thanks,
Brad.
That's
cool. I'm a little bit more liberal when it comes to baseball stuff, but fine.
Yeah, you are.
That's what makes it work.
You got it.
Let's go ahead and wrap it up. Brig, you want to plug the shop for us?
Yep. Baseball family, if you're watching on YouTube, you always know the cool swag we're wearing. And if you're listening on audio, we will now jump into a soliloquy about what we're wearing. No, just kidding. But we do have awesome baseball t-shirts and hats and hoodies and all kinds of things, even wall art for your home, pillows, etc. on the shop at 9plusus.com. That's NINEPLUSUS.com. 9plusus.com, that's where you can get all the swag that we have. And we do discount codes and all that kind of stuff all the time on our private Facebook group, which Brad is going to tell you about.
That is right. Thank you, Brig. So go ahead and jump on Facebook and search 9plusus VIPs, and you'll have to send a request, but we will add you. There's no fee. All it is just it's a private group where we can have a fun conversation about baseball, and we also drop periodic discount codes, as Briggs said. But also, don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Subscribe to us on YouTube. You can watch us there. It's a little bit different experience on YouTube. Typically, it's just kind of you watching us, but you get to see what we're wearing, and then there's other times where I will add custom graphics, so it's a little bit different. But we got some fun stuff coming up for you this year, baseball family. We're excited. We're going to tease it with that for now. We'll tell you what it is later, and we will catch you next week.